Welcome to the In the Money Players podcast, focusing on Thursday at Saratoga, the Pick Six specifically. Nick Tamaro here hosting, joined by the one and only Jonathan Kinchin. Jonathan, ready to roll for Saratoga Belmont Festival.
Yes, I'm fired up. The only issue, I think, Nick, is that there's no Peter Luger's up here for our traditional Friday night dinner. And there's probably no Nikki the Boss either. I don't know. We hadn't talked. I didn't know if you're coming for sure. But there's two big things missing, Nikki the Boss and Peter Luger's.
That is a fact. Yes, I will not be making the trip. It will be the second Belmont since 2011 that I missed, but I'll be ready to roll when they get back downstate, no doubt about it. So I'll go next year, I would think. It's just, you know, with Sam Houston running, I got to find a backup. And as you know, better than most, Saratoga's a tough trip from down here. There's a lot that's got to go into it, and doing it on a quick turnaround is not really that much fun, but
I will say this: you may, if you don't know this yet, there is a Dallas to Albany now on American. I don't know if you knew that now. There's one a day.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay,
one a day, okay. Dallas to Albany. So that makes it a little bit easier, but still, it's still not that easy.
Yeah, I wish we could get a Houston to Albany on United, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. We'll see. But alas, we'll get into this pick six, which begins on Thursday afternoon at 3:01 Eastern time in race five. Of course, there's a carryover left over from Memorial Day. The first leg is a turf sprint. Jonathan, how are we going to get started?
Yeah, look, turf sprints don't make me cringe as much as many horse players. I think they're pretty easy to kind of dissect in terms of where your brain should go. And you have to respect all the speed horses, because the speed of the speed often wins these races. And for me, the speed of the speed is a six in the end. You get Kendrick in that spot too, that will be Ford basically no matter what. Kendrick doesn't get in the way of fast horses, but it's not that simple. I also needed the 1, 9 and the 10 as A types for me. And if you're looking for some backups, I thought the 2 and the 4 were interesting. The 4, Summer Whirl, has two siblings that have won on turf, and Grand Motion can pop on you first time out, and so I thought we would spread a little bit there, but for sure I wanted to have the 6 on top, so I'll go 1, 6, 9, 10 is A's and the 2, 4 is B's.
Yeah, we see it very similarly. I picked the 6 on top as well. I thought this horse ran well last time out. I don't know, you know, you probably have to get in the weeds a little bit. This is a weaker than par race for this level, so I think the Monmouth open to this is really not much of a jump. Generally, I do kind of take the approach that that's a class jump, but I don't think it's that much of a jump. This horse ran very well. She did kind of have a little bit of trouble in upper stretch, ended up getting out in time, got nailed for second late by a horse that had come from way back. Those races generally are a little bit more conducive to front running types. I didn't know exactly how to handle the 9. You know, the West Coast turf form is usually not that great, but this horse has been involved in really strong paces in her last two. And, you know, that level of speed might really, really help her be effective here if Manny really wants to go pedal to the metal coming out of the gate. So I thought the 4 as well, first-time starter for Grand Motion by Arrogate, who's a good first outsider. He's a terrible turf sire. But the dam side is really turfy, and this is a horse they paid decent money for. So I was figuring I'd probably go 1, 6, 9 as A's, and I'd use the 4 as a backup. So I'm seeing it pretty similarly in that opening leg, which is race number 5, on to race 6 at 7 furlongs on the main track. And, you know, one of the things that makes David Aragona the preeminent morning line maker in the country is that he is always on top of these good-looking first-time starters. He watches a lot of workouts. I'm guessing that what we've seen in the morning from Chanteuse and Audacious has been pretty impressive. I'm looking forward to looking at the workout reports later in the week, because it appears as if they've been training together. And I don't know if they've necessarily – okay, so, yeah, you can't fool me. So I kid, of course. But so we'll see. It, obviously, Audacious's workout 2 back was faster, so I don't know if she just completely outworked her or what. I'm guessing she is the preferred of the two, given that Irad is on board. You know, I wish I had a little bit more of a clever opinion here. I kind of picked the entry on top, and really the only horse that's going to be any kind of price – that I could make even a slight case for, and it's a shot in the dark, is Silvology. And I'm not really dying to take a first-time starter from the rail for a guy like Shug, but I will say, Jonathan, this horse's pedigree is all turf. And Shug is running her on the dirt. And he knows he could have gotten her on the turf. There are a lot of opportunities to run on the turf in New York. So I've seen horses like this outperform expectations in the past. I'm not going to be surprised if she runs well but her running well just isn't quite good enough. Where did you go in this leg?
Yeah, look, the entry, your eyes definitely go there. Three back, they definitely work together. You can see that on XBTV. The two work since then. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't see those on XBTV, but, you know, working at the same day, figuring they work together, they probably did that again. I mean, the pedigree is serious, right? Chantus is a half to Malibu Moon, or excuse me, Magnum Moon, who is a heck of a racehorse. You know, look, one of those two probably wins, but I thought the five, She's Wicked Smart, who ran pretty well, first time out for Rob Falcone. Falcone, I think is what we're supposed to say now. Rob Falcone back in Saratoga. So an opportunity to kind of grow up as a, from a two-year-old to a three-year-old makes some sense with me. And then the nine, Neat Trick, another one that I'd probably save with towards the outside, who has shown a little bit of talent, has taken a little bit of money. That outside draw is a comfy draw when you're facing these kind of inexperienced horses. So I'll probably use Neat Trick as more of a B. I want to have the five, She's Wicked Smart, as an A. Sometimes, you know, especially in Saratoga with these maiden races, you can hear they can be the fastest horse in the world. They run into an experienced horse and they get beat first time out. So I'll use the entry and the five as A horses.
You almost wonder if you're supposed to go with the She's Wicked Smart kind of approach here with this horse. Oh, with the, wow. You know,
look at the race caller in you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd quite go to that level. It's fun when you have a horse with a funny name, when you're a race caller, you really have to commit yourself to doing it every time. And it's really like that's tough. So we had a horse that ran a few years ago at Sam Houston named Woohoo. And I used to go like full on, like total gonzo. I'd say Woohoo, like Woohoo the whole way around there. And it's exhausting. But yeah, that was back when you could watch our races too. Anyway, on to race seven, a mile on the main track of one other than. And, you know, one of the things that's always fun about these big cards is that you'll get horses that maybe are on delayed debuts for the season or what, but or you'll get a horse dropping in class. That's exactly what we have here with the seven, Ways and Means. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that you probably think Ways and Means is gonna win.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's gonna win. I think. I mean, I think the one is like a little bit interesting when I started. You know, when you start to handicap the race, if you don't peruse the race first, if I was just in kind of handicap mode where I just started at the one horse and worked my way down, I started to think like, oh, wow, this one horse is interesting. I ran well last time, was wide all the way around there in the Eight Bells. Gulfstream Park Oaks, you know, had a little bit of trouble too. And then you work your way down through the field and you land on the seven and you're like, oh, okay, this is the horse that's going to win, obviously, Ways and Means.
Yeah, exactly. That's the case for sure. She's coming in off the Kentucky Oaks, where she chased the hot pace and then weakened a little bit. Now gets Lasix for the first time, racing out of Stakes Company as a three-year-old. Classic cutback to me, where you have a filly that was very, very comfortable sitting off of it early on as a two-year-old, and now has been a little headstrong, a little bit more into the bit as a three-year-old. So she looks like a prime candidate to cut back. You mentioned Do Gooder, who was relatively highly regarded at the beginning of her career because of the way she was training at Gulfstream, and looks like a horse that probably has some ability as well. So I'm expecting her to run somewhat well, and so we'll see how she performs. I would say she's probably the alternative for me. So are you gonna have some backup tickets with the one on it?
Yeah, I'll single A Ways and Means for sure, and then I'll have a B, maybe even a C line. You know, if you're familiar with the ABC format, you know the Bs can sometimes get expensive if you play two B tickets, and so I don't want to waste that much money trying to beat Ways and Means. But if I'm right about everything else, and Ways and Means loses and Do Gooder wins, I need to make sure I cash on that situation. So she's probably more of a C for me.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair and really, really intelligent approach is that, you know, if you have some clever opinions in the rest of the sequence, you don't want to lose because she loses. You want to give yourself an opportunity to get that big score. You know, I remember I hit a pick five, you know, not a humble brag at all, but I hit a pick five that was like three chalks, one of which was 1-5, and it had a 30 or 40-1 shot. It paid $6,000, right? You want to give yourself an opportunity to hit on those when you're ready to do so. With the rest of the way you have it in sequence. So very nice. Let's go on to race number eight, the fourth leg of this pick six. And this is a tough, turf sprint race, I really had a hard time with it. I ended up going to the eight all of a suddenly, who's stretching out in distance for Rob Falcone, as you've now let me know we're supposed to be calling him, which is the proper Italian pronunciation. And, you know, I'll admit, Jonathan, I had a very hard time finding anybody I really liked in here. I settled for him, and I felt like the thing that I could hang my hat on is that he's going to be forwardly placed. He doesn't have any pedigree that indicates to me he should have a problem with going this far. And boy, the horses that have gone long, I mean, outside of All Good Here, Mission Hill's last race belongs in a time capsule of woeful performances with good trips. Like, this horse had a great trip, angled out, and just spun his wheels in the stretch. He comes back as a new gelding. Mott has, you know, typical Mott numbers off long layoffs. So I have some affinity for him. He'd be more of a backup to me. And, you know, what else is in here?
I thought that this is a spready race, and I've got a couple of singles, I think, in the sequence. So it's easier to be a little spready here. You know, the Six Film Academy, you know, horses like this win all the time. All Good Here. I agree with you. Gelding since those previous starts, he can win these types of races. All of a sudden, going to use that one. The 9 Mission Hill, going to use that one. The only one that I guess that I would add in here is the 1 Romantic Charmer, who definitely looks like there is some turf pedigree there, who I thought ran well last time, has taken some money in a couple of starts, which makes you think that there is a little bit of talent there. And now you get this Mendelsohn with a turfy mom finally on the grass, and one that I thought you would want to probably have. A horse that's likely going to be ignored. The other horses that we mentioned, 6, 7, 8, 9, those horses are all take money because they've got some runs over the surface, and they're all decent runs. So I didn't have a strong opinion in here. The 2 Dave Donk first time starters. I love Dave Donk more than anything, but he's 4 for 52 first time starters on the turf in the last 5 years. So I don't necessarily need those. And there wasn't really anything else in here that got me going. I guess if you were going extremely deep in here, the outside horse, the 12 Saffredi, or I don't know, you know that one, Saffredi. There's some turf there, and the bonds can be sneaky on days like this. But yeah, for me, I just really needed the 1, 6, 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah, I glossed over Film Academy a little bit. I should have mentioned him. He was a horse that you talked about, obviously. This is a horse that, in a way, has been a little disappointing. This is a good pedigree. Tarip was a nice turf horse, and they paid nothing for this horse. So obviously he made no kind of impression at OBS in April of 2023. I don't think he did any running last time at all. I mean, he kind of just went around there at one speed and never accelerated. But, you know, we're talking about an open company championship meet Gulfstream turf race and a weaker than par New York bred maiden race. So, you know, it's a big departure. So I'll use the horse probably more as a backup. I'm just going to try and get out of here with the 7 and 8 and call it a day. If I lose, I lose. I will say that I'll use the 13 if he gets in. I don't love the post, but I think Frankie Dettori is going to make a good impression this weekend. And if anybody can figure out what to do from an outside post, I think it's him. Let's go to race 9, the Astoria, one of a couple of stakes to end this card. And of course, you and I would be remiss in not mentioning that, of course, our mutual friend Reagan Swinbank has the 4 West Memorial, who is named for the neighborhood in Houston that Reagan grew up in. And this daughter of Caracara will don Reagan's new maroon Swinbank stable silks, which, other than the color, which of course is a nod to his alma mater, Texas A&M, I mean, you've got to love those Texas silks. And Ray Lou popping the cowboy hat on after the Kentucky Juvenile, I mean, that was a good look.
Oh, it's a massive outline of the state of Texas, yeah. And Reagan's fired up. He's been texting me, and he's look at the race. Tell me what you think. It's a funny thing. Pete and I we were in Louisville this day, but we had a seminar we were doing, so we didn't get over to the track. We got a little distracted. It was tough for me because West Memorial won at 17-18 to 1 in the race prior to that. My friends at E5 Racing won with Carl Spackler, who I was a huge fan of. I was destined to have that double if I would have been on track and paying attention. So, you know, look, I mean, West Memorial is one that I definitely want to have and definitely one that I'll use as an A. And then the 9 Long Neck Paula is another one who I'll use as an A. And I want to give everyone a heads up if you're paying attention. In the second race, there's a horse named Touchy running for Wesley Ward. To my eye, you can watch it on XBTV. They both worked together, and they worked well together. I thought Touchy probably worked a little bit better, depending on how you want to evaluate works. But Long Neck Paula did work with Touchy. So if Touchy runs off the screen in the second, I think you can kind of upgrade Long Neck Paula to a certain extent. And then the Queen's MG I'll probably use as a B horse who broke slowly on debut at Keeneland in the race that West Memorial ran second that came out of. So probably one that you want to use. I didn't need the three French horn, Nick. I don't know about you. Yes, Emma's Encore won the Prioress and the Victory Ride, but all the babies seem to be turfy or synthetic-y, and that's one that's a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, I don't want any part of Mark Cassie 2-year-olds coming off Lasix. Yeah, not for me. And this horse also had a kind of a phony trip on the lead, soft pace. Yeah, not for me at all. I didn't even pick her in the top four. I see it similarly. I mean, the only horse that I'll probably use is Outraki, who Steve Asmussen will saddle, who was a solid winner on debut at Churchill. It was in a restricted maiden race, so it's not quite at the same level. There'll be a jockey change, obviously, as Keith got banged up over the weekend, and hopefully Keith is convalescing rapidly. He took a pretty nasty fall. You mentioned Long Neck Paula, and I did actually notice that about Touchy as well. I'm guessing if Wesley's running Touchy in the Tremont first time out, he's probably pretty good. So, yeah, I picked it 4.298. So we saw the race very similarly. I thought the Queen's MG ran well. Moving over to Safi Joseph Jr.'s barn will do him no harm, I would imagine. So we'll be rooting for West Memorial, no doubt about it. But I do think there are some opportunities to help there. In the nightcap, the Belmont Gold Cup, I don't see much of a reason to help the favorite. I looked through this field probably more times than I should have, and I came to a pretty clear conclusion, Jonathan. I think Siskiny's going to win.
Yeah, I think so too, and he's drawn well too for what he's the most stamina proven horse. I don't care if he ends up a couple of times around. I just don't really care about that. I don't care if some, you know, mile and an eighth horse from America sits on the rail all the way around there and he's three wide all the way around there. This is the game that he plays. And I think it's pretty simple. If you look at Timeform US, Siskiny has got a couple of 2-mile races where he goes 120 Timeform US or 122 Timeform US. Like, there's no horses in here don't even run those going a mile and an eighth or a mile and, you know, a mile and a half of our horses. So they have to play his game, in which he's clearly better than anyone at any of the games that they play. I just don't really see how this horse loses. If he does get beat, sure, maybe it's like starting over or something. I don't need anybody else in here. And I think this sequence becomes very approachable if you feel like Ways and Means is a slam dunk and you feel like Siskiny's a slam dunk.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly the approach. Is it, pick six has become a lot more hittable. Maybe they don't pay as much, but I don't really know if that matters quite so much. But yeah, if you can kind of really hone in on that. I thought that the other horse that really, you know, looked like he probably had a chance was Limited Liability, just because we don't know exactly how good Limited Liability is. Three of his best races have come at 11 furlongs or more. So you would think that a trip like 16 furlongs would really kind of hit him between the eyes. But again, this is a big departure from anything he's done before. So it's fair to have a healthy dose of skepticism. And I mean, I have no skepticism when it comes to Siskiny. He's done this. He's done it well. And I anticipate he'll do so again. So I thought he'd be pretty tough to beat. The horse who was second to him last year, the Grey Wizard, is back. You know, he's in good enough form, but he had a very good trip when he was second to Siskiny last year. I don't know where he's finding that couple of lengths to beat him this time around. So 12 is a lone A for me, 1 is a backup, and that's about all she wrote in this sequence. Jonathan, we're going to be looking forward to seeing you over the weekend on America's Day at the Races and on the Belmont broadcast specifically on Saturday. Can't wait.
Thanks, boss man. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Big thanks to Jonathan Kinchin for joining me, and a big thanks to all of you for listening to this Pick Six podcast. Again, we're going to have a ton of great content throughout the week. Stay tuned right here. My analysis, full card selections and analysis for each of the 4 days of the Belmont Racing Festival will be up shortly, actually. I should be done with everything certainly by Friday for Sunday, but I'll try to have everything up 48 hours in advance. So thanks again for listening, And for Jonathan, until next time, best of luck.